Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently leading us on a verse-by-verse venture through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, we'll be studying David's Prayer of Distress. We turn in our Bibles to Psalm 6, verse 1. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
Psalm 6. It is a psalm that is entitled, To the Chief Musician, on Niganoth, which is a stringed instrument and thought to perhaps be a lyre, upon Shemoneth, which in Hebrew is octaves. So it's on a stringed instrument to be played in octaves. And it is a psalm of David. It is a psalm in which David is conscious of his guilt. He has done something wrong. He knows he's done something wrong. He knows that he is deserving chastisement from the Lord. And so he begins the psalm with a petition to the Lord, not to rebuke him in your anger, neither chasten me in your hot displeasure. It was always great when my dad would chasten me after he had cooled down. So often a parent grabs the child in the moment of emotion when the parent is still shaking with fear over what the child has done. They have done something, their life was in jeopardy, and you are so shook, you grab them and quite often overreact to the situation. And thus the punishment is quite often more severe than really the situation would dictate. And so David, understanding the human nature, carrying it over unto God. Of course, God doesn't do that, but we so often attribute to God our own feelings and emotions. He is saying, O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in your hot displeasure. But instead, he pleads for the mercy of God. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. The confession, Lord, I just weak. Mercy, Lord. Now, the glorious thing, the Bible says that the Lord knows our frame and he knows we're but dust. We're the only ones that are fooled by ourselves. And we think, hey, I can handle it, you know. They say fools rush in where angels fear to tread. And so often when we think, well, I can handle anything, you know, come on, Satan, you know, put up your dukes. Let's go at it, you know. I'm sure the angels say, oh, no. And David says, Lord, mercy, I'm so weak. Oh, Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. The effect of sin upon the human body. In the 32nd Psalm, as David there is conscious again of his guilt and is again talking about the forgiveness, but his experience prior to the forgiveness when he was doing his best to cover his tracks and hide his sin. He spoke about that roaring that was in his bones. Here again, he speaks about his bones are vexed. Just the very inward part of my body, my life, is affected by my sin. My soul also is sore vexed. My mind is troubled. The conscience is just giving me a bad... I know I'm guilty. But thou, O Lord, how long? How long before you intercede? How long, Lord, before you lift this burden? How long, Lord, before I'm freed from this heavy consciousness of my guilt? And so the plea, "Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O save me for thy mercy's sake." The Lord had promised to the children of Israel that he was doing it not because they deserved it, but because of his mercies and for his mercy's sake. And sometimes for Abraham, not because of your righteousness, but for my mercy's sake. And so David is not really here pleading his just cause. He's just casting himself upon the mercy of God and asking God's salvation for his mercy's sake. Then David said, "For in death there is no remembrance of me." There's no joyful rejoicing and praise over in the cemetery. "In death there's no remembrance of thee. In the grave, who shall give thee thanks?" If I go down into hell, and the word translated grave there is Sheol, hell. You know, there's no praise services or thanksgiving services there. So, Lord, for your mercy's sake, deliver me. "I am weary with my groaning." And then I think they call it a hyperbole. It's figurative speech, which is exaggeration. "For all night long I make my bed to swim. My tears are so many that my bed is afloat in my room. I water my couch with my tears. My eye is consumed because of my grief." Red eyes, blurry eyes. They are like an older person's eyes who begins to get cataracts, can't see well. "It wax old because of mine enemies." And so he then turns from his plea towards God and he addresses the workers of iniquity and he says, "Depart from me, ye workers iniquity." The separation from the evil companions, those that would lead him into his rebellion against God. For he declares, "The Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord has heard my supplication." Notice, he has heard, and then he will receive my prayer. The past work of God builds faith and confidence in the continued or future work of God. Paul the Apostle said, "Who has delivered us from so great a death?" Looking back, God has delivered us. Looking around, "Who doth now also deliver us? And we are confident that he shall yet deliver us." I look back, I see the hand of God. He's been good. He's delivered me. He's helped me. I look around, I see the hand of God. He's good. He's brought me this far. It gives me confidence for the future. If God has heard me, then I know that he will hear me. If God has helped me, and he is helping me, I know he shall yet help me. I don't really worry about tomorrow, because I am confident in the past, in what God has done and in what God is doing, and it gives me then assurance, for I know that God will not forsake the work of his hands, but he will perfect that which concerneth me. So that continued work of God, of which David now becomes confident, because he has heard my prayer, he has heard the voice of my weeping, he's heard my supplications, and I know that he will receive my prayer. So let all of my enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. I've been sore vexed because of my sin. Now let them be sore vexed. Let them return and be ashamed suddenly. The seventh psalm is a Shigion of David. Shigion, by some, is declared to be praise, and others say it is a loud cry. When you read the context of the psalm, it sounds like it's more of a loud cry than a praise, which he sang unto the Lord concerning the words of Cush the Benjamite. Now, who is Cush the Benjamite? We don't know. Saul was the son of Kish. And so there could be a thing of Saul's words against David when he was determined to destroy David. It could be this guy Shimei, who when David was driven from Jerusalem by Absalom, ran along above David on the hillside, throwing rocks at him and cursing him. And being a Benjamite and a follower of Saul, it could be that it is Shimei. The word Cush in Hebrew is black. And so the words of this black Benjamite, whoever he may be, O Lord, my God, in thee do I put my trust. Now here you have the combination of Yahweh, my Elohim, Yahweh, my God. In thee do I put my trust. Save me from them that persecute me and deliver me. So David is in trouble. He's being persecuted. And his prayer is for salvation from the persecutors and for deliverance. Lest he, this black Benjamite, tear my soul like a lion, rending it in pieces, my heart, my soul. This guy's ripping it with his words. While there is none to deliver. O Lord my God, if I have done this, if I am guilty of what he is accusing me of being guilty, if there be iniquity in my hands, if the charges that they are making are true, if I have rewarded evil unto him that was at peace with me. And this evidently was the charge they were making it of David, that he had, somebody was good to David, but he rewarded him with evil. And David then puts in a word for himself. He said, I have delivered him that is without cause, my enemy. You know, I haven't done evil. I've actually helped those who were my enemy. But if I am guilty of what they say. They say that to reward evil for good is devilish. To reward evil for evil is beastly. To reward good for good is manly, and to reward evil with good is godly. Figure that one out. There's a lot there. So if I'm guilty of the things they're charging me of, he said, then let the enemy persecute my soul and take it. Yea, let him just grind my life down into the earth and lay my honor in the dust. If I'm guilty, then let him have at it, Lord, and just wipe me out. But David knows he's not guilty. And so he goes on and declares, Arise, O Lord, in thine anger, lift up thyself because of the rage of mine enemies, and awake for me to the judgment that thou hast commanded. Lord, come on and defend me. Bring judgment against my enemies. And so shall the congregation of the people compass thee about. For their sakes, therefore, return thou on high. For the Lord shall judge the people. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness. Now, this is an interesting thing for David to say. And no doubt was early in his career. According to my integrity, he said, that is in me. Now, in this particular case, David is innocent of the charges. This black Benjamite is making false charges against David. And it's amazing how self-righteous and all we can become when someone are making false charges against us. You know, we can get just this righteous indignation That's not so. That is a rotten, filthy lie, you know. And we can get so righteously indignant over false charges. And these were false charges that were being made against David in this case. And so he's asking the Lord to judge according to the right. Lord, you know the truth, and you judge according to the righteousness, my righteousness, and according to my integrity. Now, later on in David's career, after he had fallen, greatly fallen with Bathsheba, tried to cover his guilt, was found out. In the 51st Psalm, which was written on that occasion, you don't find David saying, Lord, judge me according to your righteousness, or to my righteousness. But David is saying, have mercy upon me, O Lord, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. For against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this great evil in thy sight. And he really is calling now for the mercies of God upon him. I make it a point never to say, God, I want justice. I always say, God, I want mercy. My plea and my prayer is always for mercy, never for justice from God. And then he goes on to declare concerning those wicked ones that had given him the problems, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just. For the righteous God trieth the hearts and the reins. The Bible tells us that when we will be standing before the Lord in judgment, that the secrets of the hearts shall be revealed, that we will be judged, our works will be judged of what sort they are. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, told us that we should beware how we do our righteousness or our righteous acts, that we should not do them with the motive of being seen of others and thus receive the praise of others. Take heed to yourself, he said, that you do not your righteousness before men to be seen of men. In other words, don't let that be the motive of your heart. And then he gave illustrations. That's the principle. And then he illustrated it. And he illustrated it with the Pharisees, how they did certain acts of righteousness, how they gave. They gave with great ostentation so that everybody saw what they were giving to God, so that people would ooh and awe over their gifts. And he said they have their reward in their prayers. They would pray on the street corners publicly so everyone would know, you know, how what men of prayer they were. And it was a public show. And so they received the acclaim, the plaudits of men. But Jesus said that's not good, because he said, then you have your reward. So when you do your righteous acts, do them in secret before God. When you pray, go in your closet, shut the door. When you give, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is giving. And do these things as unto the Lord before the Lord, and of the Lord then you will receive your reward. But the heart, the motive, is the thing that God is going to judge. Paul the Apostle in 1 Corinthians 13 tells about the things that people may do. But if the motive isn't love, it will profit you nothing. And so when God judges us, the judgment will be according to the motive that prompted the deed. And the deed may be right, but the motive wrong. When God judges, he'll judge the secrets of the hearts. He will judge the reins, that is, those motives that direct the purpose of my life, the reason why I did it. The reins, of course, by which you guide, and by which the choices by which your life is directed. My defense, he said, is of God, which saves the upright in heart. So I am trusting in God. He is my defense. It is a glorious thing to have God as your defense, and the Lord will defend His people. And I have learned that if I commit my ways unto the Lord, if I will commit the situation to the Lord will defend me. If I seek to defend myself, He'll let me. And I'll tell you, I have a weak defense when that happens. But the Lord will defend you. No weapon formed against you will prosper. This is the heritage of the children of the Lord, and it's so glorious to have the Lord as our defense.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse venture through the Bible in our next lesson as we continue our study of the Psalms. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message, or perhaps you'd like to order a copy for that special friend or loved one, you can do so by simply contacting one of our customer service representatives, and they'd be more than happy to assist you with the ordering details. Simply call 1-800-272-WORD. And phone orders can be taken Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. And for your added convenience, you can order online anytime when you go to thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse through the additional resources that include Bible studies, commentaries, CDs, DVDs, and so much more. Once again, that's The Word for Today online at thewordfortoday.org. And for those of you who still prefer to write, you can use our mailing address, which is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And be sure to include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck Smith continues his verse-by-verse venture through the Psalms. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. Now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck Smith with today's closing comments.
God bless you, and may the Lord guide you in His plan for your life. And may you learn, as David, to just commit your ways unto the Lord, knowing that the Lord will take care of things as you just submit your life, its facets, unto Him. And may God just continue to use you as His instrument in bringing His love to a needy world.
Undoubtedly, one of the most glaring signs that our society is in trouble is the breakdown of the family unit. Marriages just aren't making it today, and kids are suffering as they watch the breakup of their homes. Those marriages still holding together are often plagued by conflict and turmoil, making the home a battleground instead of a refuge. That's why The Word for Today would like to present Pastor Chuck Smith's Marriage and Family MP3, where Pastor Chuck discusses basic biblical principles to keep a family's love alive. Each member of the family has a different set of needs and responsibilities. And when you know and apply God's principles, everyone in the family can experience real peace, real joy, and an agape love. To order your copy of the Marriage and Family MP3 by Chuck Smith, call The Word for Today at 800-272-WORD or visit us online at thewordfortoday.org.
This program has been sponsored by The Word for Today in Costa Mesa, California.